Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. Dana Miles is the 2023 Washington State Teacher of the Year. She has been a teacher for 11 years, the last six of which she has taught work experience and applied bilingual language arts at the Washington School for the Deaf, located in Vancouver, Washington. In her applied bilingual language arts classes, she teaches English and American Sign Language interchangeably, preparing students for life after high school using real-world contexts like housing, such as comparing costs and type of housing, transportation, including bus training, directions, and car shopping, and more. Dana, congratulations on being named 2023 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Why is language so important to students in the deaf community?
Thank you. I'm glad you asked that question, Eric, because it is. It's the number one most important thing that we ought to discuss within our community always. First of all, I did want to mention something about language. When I mention language, I want to clarify that I'm speaking about sign language. And that's because we live here in the United States and we refer to our sign language as American Sign Language, ASL. The reason why I value ASL so much is because it is fully accessible for all. It really is for all. And that's because not necessarily do you need to see it. We have our deafblind community as well, who also uses ASL, and they will use something called tactile approach, hand over hand. So it's not just for the deaf community, but our deafblind community members benefit from it as well, along with hearing people if they so choose to learn. And the reason I want to emphasize the importance of language specifically for our younger kids is because we have so many deaf students who come to our school and they are delayed in their language, both in ASL and English. And that happens because in the younger years or more developmental years, they may be diagnosed later on, not early enough. That's one potential issue, along with picking up language later on in life for a variety of reasons. Maybe there's some misinformation passed on to the families from professionals telling them not to start sign language, try speech training first. It does not work for many students. As a side note, it can sometimes cause damage because they don't get language until further on down the road. So anyway, back to the point being that American Sign Language is fully accessible and there's no risk involved. You know what I mean? So if you try speech therapy, some students can pick it up, whereas some students may really, really struggle with it and not pick up on the speech therapy. So sign language guarantees all are able to learn it. Once you learn sign language, you're able to bridge that language into English. You know, if you learn any language, in order to learn that language, Spanish, for example, you need to have someone to teach you Spanish through English, right? You need to have a foundation. And so you point to water and say, oh, that's water in English. And in Spanish, it's agua. I think that's the word. But it's the same concept, starting with ASL, which would then be able to bridge over to English. Now, to come back to what I was saying, in the past, it has been really pushed almost extinction because the oral approach has been so strong in the educational system. ASL was almost pushed to extinction and we're now making a comeback because we do see the value and that it does work. If your children are exposed at a young enough age, their English will also get there as well. It'll be great if you can start young with teaching them ASL. One thing I wanted to add before I wrap up on this question, ASL, if you can understand it, is absolutely beautiful language. It's 3D. We share stories. We do poems. We have songs. Anything you could think of, just as people do in English, we do the same thing through ASL. And so it's just a very beautiful and unique language.
Can I ask you a stupid question? And I'm almost embarrassed to ask, but how hard is it to learn ASL?
Oh, there's no stupid question. And it does vary. You know, there are people who learn a foreign language right away, right? They pick it up, no problem at all. There are some people really, really struggle to pick it up. And so it would depend on you as a person. Maybe if you have a knack for languages, foreign languages, maybe you would acquire it a lot easier than some. Of course, it would just depend on the individual. There are some similarities to learning any new language, but of course, some differences and nuances as well.
So as someone who is deaf, is it harder to learn a language such as ASL? Because I'm thinking about the way of communicating to someone who is not able to hear. Does that make it more challenging, say, to identify something like water or a building or a flower or whatever it is that you're trying to communicate in that language?
If you have a deaf student, let's say a late learner who comes to the classroom, you would not believe how quickly they pick up language because they're so visual and they are ready to absorb the information. And so they already are aware and ready to learn visually. Their brain is wired that way. So when you have a deaf person who has no ASL skills at all, no foundation, they tend to pick it up almost, I would say within about 2 months, 3 months, to be honest, I've seen that happen. And so, no, I think it's easier for deaf people. It really is because they need it. They need that access. They're visual learners.
That makes perfect sense. So what are some strategies for preparing students in the deaf community for what comes after high school? What are their needs?
So really, there are four areas that I have noticed the biggest needs in. And it's interesting because it's not just for our deaf children. It's also for hearing children as well. It can apply to them too. So number one is self-advocacy. That is the biggest area of need is self-advocacy. I teach my deaf students their self-advocacy skills first and foremost, because that's the key to success. Once you learn how to really advocate and they learn how to advocate for themselves, they typically are able to tie that to a lot of different areas of success in life. So that is absolutely key. Second, I would say would be communication tools. Students need to be able to identify what kind of communication tools work best for them individually. And it really does vary across the board. They need to be able to identify and then they can use those tools. And that in turn becomes part of self-advocacy because they need to learn which tools work best for them and then advocate and ask for those specific communication tools. So those go hand in hand. The third area I would say would be real world application. And that's where I think all students in the world should be able to do that in their high school. I have talked about that. I call it AKA adulting. They need to know how the real world works, right? Because there is so much information out there and they tend to feel ill-prepared or underprepared. And so I feel fortunate that I'm able to teach those kinds of topics to them. And the last thing I wanted to mention is also critical, and that is the resources they have within their local community. And for our students, sometimes they need more services and more support. For example, with finding a job, they need to know who their local division of vocational rehabilitation, we call DVR. They need to know where their local DVR is to help them find a job. They need to know who those people are. Where is the Deaf Center, for example, where they can access additional resources if they need support? Maybe there's a legal issue, more resources, whatnot. They're all really crucial. So again, self-advocacy, number one. Number two, communication tools. Number three, adulting or real-world application. And number four, connecting with the local community resources.
Do you find that students who receive these four things that you're talking about have an easier time deciding what it is they want to do after school? In other words, do they know what they want to major in if they go to like a university, or do they know if there's what kind of a trade or apprenticeship program they might want to get into? Because there was a survey that just came out recently that said that only like 35 to 40% of students leaving high school know what they want to do, and they feel a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. And I'm wondering if students who you've worked with don't have that same level of uncertainty because you've prepared them better.
Yes, I agree with what you're saying. I think it's about building confidence, and with that confidence comes success. Yes, our students, because of their disability and being deaf, they are eligible for benefits, financial benefits such as Social Security, SSI, or SSDI. And that can at times be a dividing factor for them because sometimes they can feel, you know, maybe they don't want to work, they'd rather stay at home. And with those, giving them that exposure and explaining to them and applying real world life skills for them gives them that confidence. And all of our students want to work. And sometimes they just need a little bit of boost or a bit of support.
So what are some possible policy solutions at the state or the local district level that could better support students in the deaf community?
So I actually have four. Four is my favorite number, obviously. I would say, well, really three. One of those would be, this might be new for you and some of the listeners, but there's a campaign called LEAD, L-E-A-D, dash K. So LEAD K. It is a campaign that is specifically for deaf children. And that is to ensure that they have access to ASL resources, to a bridge to ASL that would then tie them to English. So really the goal of that campaign is to have the students be ready for school going into kindergarten. That's why it's called LEAD K for kindergarten. Oftentimes when you have an infant, a deaf infant, a baby, they are screened. They have a hearing screening and identified as being deaf. And a lot of times the parents are left without any information, without any resources. And so often the parents feel unsure of what to do. They can't make an informed decision. Whereas LEAD K, they have already passed. I want to say they've been passed in 8 states now. Washington is yet to pass it. And so I would really like to see that be passed here. But once it does pass, that means that they will be required to provide ASL resources, access, and information to new parents of children who are recently identified as being deaf. That's a big one. The second one that I really would like to see change is vocational opportunities. I feel that we do have vocational programs out there, but they're not big enough. They're not accessible enough. They're not compatible enough. Right. And so I want to see those programs be expanded for the vocational opportunities. The other thing is I would like to see accessibility increase, not just bringing in an interpreter, for example, but providing tutors and support. And, you know, speaking of that and making accommodations, I really want to see them consider doing things differently. And for example, we have a lot of vocational programs right now that require high literacy skills, for example, 8th grade and above. How is that fair for those students who are struggling with their language? They already have a huge barrier and disadvantage to their language. They don't have strong language skills. And now they can't access vocational training programs. They've already decided college may not be an option for them. So now they face this additional barrier. So I'd like to see that change. And my recommendation would be, why not change it in a way that we maybe assess our students and identify what language skills they do have and make it more performance-based assessments where the students are required to demonstrate a mastery of specific skills. And once they're able to demonstrate that and their performance is satisfactory, then they can be, you can have a certified teacher, maybe mechanic, for example, who could come in and check off. Maybe they have a checklist of skills that would be necessary that the students would need to master. If they haven't yet mastered some of those specific skills in that skill set, leave it blank, right? Leave room for growth. Because maybe later on, that student will learn if they do that skill and master that skill that can be checked off. But I think we need a new type of certification approach so they can bring that to an employer and show them what they're able to do. Oftentimes, this employer will be surprised and say, oh, you know, that skill set is exactly what we're looking for in our employees. And so those are some things I would like to see change.
Yeah, that's great. I want to go back to LEAD K for just a moment. What is the barrier for LEAD K not being here in Washington State? Is it just a funding issue or is it just a lack of awareness?
So honestly, I don't know. And it's funny because I just asked a friend of mine who works as outreach here at Washington School for the Deaf. And they're at the Center for Deaf and Hard of Hearing Youth. They recently rebranded and changed their name. So CDHY. And I asked what was going on. I wanted to know what the deal is with LEAD K. I know there's a committee, and I know that I think they were at a pause because of COVID, and they're now trying to pick back up where they left off. I believe that's where we're at. And so I don't know exactly why we're not rolling yet where they are in other states. So I'm not quite sure about that.
Thanks for letting me know. So I'd like to talk about you. In your own personal education journey, what worked and what didn't work so well?
I was born in a family that had deaf parents, so I had language at birth. And I grew up in a self-contained classroom because it sounds negative, but it really wasn't. I had direct access to ASL 100% of the time in the classroom. And that's because my teachers were either hearing or deaf, but they knew sign language. So I always had access to communication, including the other students. And that went along just fine. And then I ended up transferring from that self-contained classroom at a public school at a deaf school here. I transferred here and I did well here until my senior year. I was on the fence and trying to make a decision as to which college I wanted to go to. I was deciding between CSUN California University in Northridge or Gallaudet University. That's the only liberal arts university that's for the deaf in the world, where wow. CSUN is a, you know, regular program, if you will. I would have an interpreter. I would have a note taker if need be, but they know how to work with deaf students. I ended up applying to both and I was accepted to both, but I didn't know which one I wanted to go to. And my mom is the one who encouraged me to go ahead and go to the public school during my senior year. And I did that. I took two classes at a neighboring public school, not far from here. I took English and an art class. And so I had an interpreter for the first time. And I was in a hearing classroom for the first time. We had assigned seating. And again, for the first time, that was a new thing for me. And what surprised me was for the entire semester, I didn't know my students sitting next to me. I didn't know their names. And I remember there was a boy, but I didn't know his name. And I didn't know anyone in the classroom for the entire semester. And that really threw me off from going from a deaf school where I knew everyone, going to knowing no one the entire semester. The interpreter was great, let me say, but I had to fill in the gaps because at best, the interpreter would interpret probably 80% of the information. So I had to figure out how to fill in those gaps myself. I would read the notes. I would read the book. I would go back on lecture notes. And, you know, I love to talk. So I always had my hand up. I wanted to participate in the conversations and discussions in class. But the teacher said, oh, thank you for answering the question that we just talked about, but we're talking about a new topic. And that really caught off guard. I didn't realize that the conversation had moved on. And that's because using an interpreter has a delay. And I didn't make that connection until that day. And then I decided I don't want to ask any questions and raise my hand anymore. And so that helped me make the decision to go to Gallaudet University. And a short story, I remember my brother, who is not deaf, he's hearing. He asked me, hey, do you want to go to CSUN? I said, yeah. And he said, okay, how many students go to CSUN? And I said, and you know, at that time, there were about 30,000.
Wow.
And he said, okay, how many deaf students go there? And I said, I think about 300. And he said, okay. And we were at a restaurant when we had this conversation. So he ended up opening the salt shaker and he poured some salt out on the table. And I thought, what are you doing? Why are you pouring salt out in the middle of the table? And he said, hey, this is the deaf community. And he held up one grain of salt. I couldn't believe it. That was a very powerful visual for me and helped me realize what I wanted to do. If I decided to go to CSUN, it was going to be a very small community. So I decided to go to Gallaudet instead. And I'm so glad I did. And that was my journey.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. So if you were in charge of Washington State's education system and you had no budgetary constraints, what would you do?
First, I would want to make sure that all driver's education schools would provide interpreters for the deaf students, because right now, there are no driver ed centers. We would have to pay for the interpreters because there are none who do that. So our deaf students have to wait until they're 18 to be able to take the test. That feels not right. So I really want to see some kind of funding implemented for that, first of all. I would also like to add tutoring, some kind of extra support for those students who are maybe struggling with language. Maybe the interpreter's not enough. They need an interpreter. So I would like to see funding for that and driver's ed. That aside, I really want to see more vocational opportunities. You know, vocational programs are very expensive, and I want to see more. I want to see an expansion of vocational programs. I want to see more opportunities for those students. That's really what I want. Oh, there's also one more thing I wanted to add. I really want to have centralized funding for interpreters, because that is a huge barrier. When people, deaf people are looking for jobs, oftentimes the employers will see them come in, and in the back of the mind, they're automatically thinking, oh, a deaf employee, that's going to be expensive. Interpreting costs. And that's not fair, because there are deaf people who want to work and they're viewed as being as expensive right? And so they're ready to get started on working. And so that's a barrier I'd like to see, some centralized funding for interpreters so that the employers are not then burdened with the financial part of paying for interpreters.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So last question I have is that you are a huge fan of Harry Potter. What is it about the Harry Potter saga and Hogwarts in particular that calls to you and speaks to you so much?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. First, Harry Potter, I'm a huge fan because I absolutely love fantasy. I like the mix of modern with fantasy, you know, so I love magic and all of that. But that aside, seriously, if you come and visit this school, it will remind you of Hogwarts. It will. I wish that it looked as nice. It's not as fancy, but the atmosphere for our deaf students, it does feel like Hogwarts. And that's because they feel like they belong. 100% they belong. They can communicate with anyone on campus, you know, in the hallway, with people in the cafeteria, with the janitors. They can join any after school activities. They don't need an interpreter. The coaches can sign. Everyone is normal here, if you will, right? They don't feel different when they're here. And so that's why they really feel like they belong. They're at home. At home, sometimes they feel isolated. They feel different. They feel excluded, right? Like Harry Potter, when he goes back home, right? And then when he goes to Hogwarts, he feels like he belongs. He found his place. It's the same thing here. There are a lot of similarities. We have our own Draco type of students here, of course. And we do have them here. And so we have cottages, we have residential programs here. They even have colors. You know, you'll have a cook-off and they'll compete against each other. So it's very similar to Harry Potter. And that's why it reminds me. And in short, I did want to say this school, in my opinion, is a magical place for deaf students.
Dana Miles is the 2023 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Dana, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. You're welcome, Eric. And I'm happy that you gave me the time and opportunity to talk with you today. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to learn more about League of Education Voters or support our work, please visit our website, educationvoters.org.